This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
I'm Mark Packer. My partner's Wes Durham. Clifford D. Cat on walkabout. The boys are sound asleep. Chester in the green room chair. Fuller sprawled out at my feet. We're good to go. Next 3 hours, we got you covered. Everything you need to know about the ACC, you will find it, see it, and hear it right here on Packer and Durham. Wes, good morning. What's up?
Good morning, Pack. I'm good. We look forward to getting to some calls today, perhaps 844-SAY-ACCN as well. Full show. Tim Beray will be here to uncover more dark secrets about Mark Packer at some point. Oh, and by the way, we'll talk about Notre Dame and Clemson as well. Tom Luganville will stop by as well. We've missed seeing Luges. Look forward to having him on this Thursday morning. David Teal will be with us, and so will Louisville field hockey head coach Justine Sowery, whose team is the top seed in the ACC field hockey tournament that starts later today. We start this show, though, Pack, with Louisville and Virginia being moved a week because of additional positive tests for the coronavirus within the Louisville football program. Now, players, yes, but staff also a concern here. So add to the list from last Saturday's ball game against Virginia Tech, and now Louisville and Virginia is going to have to be moved to Saturday away as well.
We talk about it literally on a daily basis that you just don't know. You know, you embrace what you can get. We know there's always going to be testing three times a week, Wednesdays and Fridays in particular, as you get down to the stretch to kickoff. You'll kind of hold your breath and you kind of hope that everything's going to be okay. You get a thumbs up to go play football. And when that news broke last night, Wes, it was not surprising. It shouldn't surprise anybody, period, anymore. I mean, we see it. Nobody's immune to it. Doesn't matter what the league, doesn't matter how good your team is, how bad your team is. You try to stay as healthy as possible. So Louisville has the outbreak. The good news is, unlike certain leagues, the ACC's got flexibility. So, yeah, we don't get that game this week. The good news is, hopefully, knock on wood, God willing, we get that game a week from now. So at least that's the good side of this, that there is at least the flexibility part of the schedule in the ACC, that when you do have those disruptions and hiccups and setbacks, you at least have the ability to move and pivot. And that's exactly what we're going to get in Charlottesville. Again, God willing, next week, Louisville and Virginia.
If you followed the ball game last Saturday, you know that there was an unavailability of most of the defensive line for the Cards in the game. And that kind of set the foundation, if any, because that was not discovered until Saturday morning. And we go back to the clock here a little bit, right, Pack?
Yeah.
We were just kind of talking about this with Trevor Lawrence and you know, going to Notre Dame and not playing at Notre Dame because of all the rehab that's involved in cardiology and things like that. Okay, so if you take the unavailable players from last week and you realize the timing of that unavailability, which it was discovered on Saturday morning, then you know you're walking kind of that thin line. So if any more get added, and that's what happened, Louisville have more added to that list of already some guys who were not going to be available this Saturday. Remember, Scott Satterfield had said in his Monday comments that guys who didn't play last week would probably not be, more than likely, not available next week. That would be Virginia as it was originally scheduled. So now that number of positives is up to 15, according to Vince Tyree, the athletics director at Louisville last night. 10 players and 5 members of the support staff, 7 others are in quarantine. That's a pretty heavy list, and therefore, because of the flexibility in the scheduling. Now, here's an interesting note about this. Remember when Duke was pushed to the front of the year where Virginia could start their season, Mark? When was Duke originally scheduled? November the 14th. Funny how that game comes back into play in that particular slot for the University of Virginia. And now Virginia, who's had their schedule impacted by both the outbreak at Virginia Tech at the beginning, the movement of the Duke game, so on and so forth, Cavaliers find themselves with a week off following the win over North Carolina. Interesting to see how the schedule has worked in some degree to the ACC's advantage, but man, we're seeing a lot of games hanging in the balance now, not just in this league, but around the country as we move into the month of November for sure here.
Well, I'll emphasize again, the smart people in the room, the ACC Greensboro corporate office, the athletic directors, chancellors, presidents, were smart in giving the flexibility that if in case there is disruption, there is at least the means to attempt to reschedule games. But you do not have that in the Big Ten. If you don't believe me, ask Wisconsin.
Right.
They have an outbreak of COVID. They've now lost two games, and I mean lost them, and never to return again. And now the question becomes, under their protocols, can Wisconsin even move forward to have a regular season? Because you got to play X amount of games to at least be eligible for a conference championship, and now they are at the level that they cannot afford to lose another game, and they're going to go back-to-back cancellations. That's not true here in the ACC. Again, flexibility with schedules critical certainly comes into play here with Louisville and Virginia.
Yep. Let's hear from the Cardinals Athletics Director, Vince Tyre, about the cancellation, or the postponement, I should say, of Louisville, Virginia.
Yeah, I mean, we certainly, you know, we just went through it last week and went out there with five, really four scholarship defense linemen last week. And, you know, I think we were trying to figure out, like most, how to scheme around it. You know, other teams in the league have had to do that. We were certainly, our coaching staff was already on that path. And then with the more positives showing up today, again, in the same same area of the defense, that stressed us a bit. And I think that, you know, there's concern for the other, certainly the other linemen, but also I think the fact that when you get into the training room where, you know, that is that's a definite concern. It's always a concern when you get outside the players to the staff. They're actually, you know, they're handling our staff. I mean, handling our players. And I think that caused enough concern to stop and take a look.
Safety and health, priority one.
All right.
You do what you have to do. And it's ironic, Wes, in this day and age, you know, we've seen a player like Trevor Lawrence, which was certainly high profile last week and now has kind of, you know, eased into this game this week with Clemson and Notre Dame. Now you get this particular game in the ACC. It's true with even broadcasters. I mean, Desmond Howard, we wish him a speedy recovery on game day. Didn't go last week. And now you get the news about the Fox broadcast team. Matt Leinart and all those guys out there are going to not be able to be available to do their stuff. So, again, COVID doesn't care. We've said this, I can't tell you how many times. It simply does not care. Rich, poor, white, black, good, bad. You got to be safe. And so from this perspective, Louisville did the right thing. And we're just fortunate enough, at least again, from an ACC perspective, that there's the flexibility to have the game. And hopefully, God willing, we can get it next week.
There you go. By the way, in some other news kind of related to the ball game that was scheduled for Saturday and pushed back a week, Virginia announced yesterday that defensive end and captain Richard Burney will miss the remainder of the season with an undisclosed medical issue. Now, Burney is a guy who was playing in his sixth year as it was. He had kind of come back from injuries and other things, and there had been some concern about him even coming back to play this year. But Richard Burney is going to miss the rest of the year, and that's a guy who's just, number one, his willingness and his stick-to-itiveness to continue his career after several injuries is to be admired. But at the same time, we wish Richard well. And sorry that this final season, this sixth and final season at the University of Virginia, was cut short. From the transaction nature of college football, last night, Mark, Trill Williams, the defensive back at Syracuse, took to social media to announce that he is opting out for the remainder of the year to get ready for the NFL draft. 24 tackles and interception this year. Here's the interception. Remember, he also had the two-point play last year in the final ball game against Wake Forest. So, Andre Sisco and now Trill Williams, which really only leaves Ifeati Melifonwu as the only experienced defensive back in the secondary for the Orange at the tail end of this 2020 season. Mark, this is the second this week to do this, right? That we're talking about in the ACC. Yep.
You know, I can't tell you I'm surprised. Kind of hinted about this about 6 weeks ago that what my biggest concern was is you're going to get into the season and some teams with big expectations could have lousy starts. And you just wonder about the mindset that, hey, these guys have been doing this now since the middle of June, right? The middle of June, trying to stay healthy just to prepare to play and compete. And you go through unbelievable sacrifices. from a social standpoint, from a physical standpoint, a mental standpoint. You got to get over that hurdle. It's a different world. Again, yeah. That's why I keep saying you have to embrace and acknowledge what all of these student athletes are doing this fall. And I'm not just talking football. I'm talking everybody, Olympic sports and the whole routine. The commitment that is necessary yep. just to have the opportunity to play. That my concern with college football was how many teams are going to get off to 1-4 starts, and that kid, student athlete, sits around and goes, hey, you know what? I got to take care of me. And if I got a chance to play in the next level and things aren't going great, I totally get it. And that was my concern. I was afraid that we could have a lot of these as we get into the halfway point and beyond, that you could see some teams, big-time players, just kind of go, hey, you know what? I've had a great run, but it's time for me to take care of me. And so, again, a tough break
right.
for Dino Babers, and you wish Trill the very best, and hopefully it works out for him next level.
Yeah. And, again, as you said, you're not surprised. You talked about it a month ago, month and a half ago. If kind of the point of no return hit a team in college football, what would happen? And some guys are just going to go ahead and step away. And, Mark, I think the one thing we have found out in the course of this season is that the effort and the intensity, and we usually reserve that for conversations about the games, right? But the effort and the intensity it takes Monday through Friday for these guys to get, and these folks, men, women, coaches, support staff, all those types, the effort and intensity it takes Monday through Friday to get to Saturday is just as strenuous as what Saturday may end up being, too.
I think it's worse. Because I'll tell you why, Wes. By the time you get to Saturday, that's the fun part. I mean, win, lose, whatever the case may be, so be it. But, I mean, that's why Saturday is the time to have the party, really. Saturday is, hey, for 3 hours, 3.5 hours, we get to play a game we love to play. But the effort it's taking to get to that point is unbelievable. And I'm not exactly sure the average fan still realizes how difficult
right.
it is for everybody associated just to put on the game. I mean, it's crazy. And that's why yep. I keep harping on the same thing, that you just have to embrace what you get. And at the end of the year, hey, whether you're the national champion or your team goes 2-8 or whatever, you know, this is just one of those kind of years. And you can't get too crazy with it. If you win a title, hey, party like a rock star and be safe doing it. But if it's a lousy year, hey, just chalk it up to COVID and say, listen, we get after them hopefully next year and we can kind of hopefully get back to some kind of normalcy. But this year is unlike anything we've ever seen in our lifetime. So just understand that before you go ballistic and go, oh, our coach isn't doing this. We should just take a deep breath, man. Just take a serious deep breath
yep.
and understand the process behind all of this just to have a game. It's been unbelievable.
Yeah. Final note here in this opening segment from our news desk, if you will. You already know that Clemson is going to be down some folks Saturday night at Notre Dame, and one that you thought might make it back is not going to be back, and one that has not really been able to play much at all this year is not going to play. Dabo Swinney confirming yesterday to Grace Rayner of The Athletic, he hoped Tyler Davis and Mike Jones Jr. would be able to go. But they're just not quite ready, unfortunately. So one of the Tiger linebackers and a guy up front who I know a lot of people were hoping to see play at some point this year, Tyler Davis. But he and Mike Jones are sidelined. Add that to Skalski. Add that to Trevor Lawrence, obviously, with the COVID situation. Pack, it's not the full Tiger throttle at all going to South Bend Saturday night.
Well, and I was going to say, a guy like Justin Foster, who was a starting defensive end you haven't seen at all
yeah.
this year. Justin Ross, All-American wide receiver, not going to see him at all this year due to the injury. So, you know, that's what, six right off the top of your head. And listen, injuries yeah. are part of the game. It's COVID's been a part of the game. You show up and do the best you can. And I don't think anybody's going to feel sorry for Dabo's guys. He's got a bunch of 4 and 5 stars all over the place, but that's not the Clemson team that we expected to see on a given week. And again, don't feel sorry for a team that currently is ranked number 1 in the country and 7-0 and won what, 39 consecutive regular season games. They're still going to show up. They're still going to compete. But it's not quite the A-listers, right? But I tell you what, they're still going to be pretty good. And that game Saturday night is going to be a great deal of fun.
Yeah.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Legendary Tim Bray is coming up in about 15 minutes.
Yes.
He is.
Yes.
No doubt about it.
Yes.
And I'll be honest with
absolutely.
You. Absolutely. I'll be honest with you. If you think Clemson and Notre Dame together, I would say of all the people on the planet Earth, no one knows more about Clemson and Notre Dame together than Tim Bray.
And Tim Bray. No question. No question. In fact, we could just throw a name out there when Tim joins us, an obscure name. Like, I have used some obscure Notre Dame football names and gotten a text from Tim saying, nice reference to Luther Bradley, nice reference to Vegas Ferguson, whatever the case may be.
They're
absolutely right. Those two, nobody else.
Yeah, the combination of Clemson and Notre Dame, there's nobody more astute about those two institutions when it comes to sports than Tim Bray on the planet Earth. I would put him number one, and all 18 trillion people right behind him.
Okay. Now, here's the issue we're going to run into is we're getting ready to go through this list of games that involves Notre Dame and, like, streaks and so forth.
Right. They've been in the middle.
And there's probably one or two we're going to leave out, and then when Tim joins us at 7:30, we're going to hear about it.
Right.
Right?
Right. Right. Because you think of Notre Dame and breaking streaks, starting streaks, breaking streaks, and it's not just a football thing. Hey, you go across the board here in hoops – men's and women's, it's crazy. Notre Dame has kind of stuck their nose in everybody's big-time business. And Clemson comes rolling in there to South Bend on Saturday night on some crazy, crazy streaks. And Notre Dame has lived for that moment. And that's kind of what this is all about.
Right. Well, let's start October 15th, 1988. Seems just like yesterday in many respects. The world-famous Catholics versus convicts game. There's a 30-for-30 about it, after all. Notre Dame defeated Miami 31-30, snapping the Canes' 36-game regular season win streak, Pack.
And what's...
Is that Chris Zorich? Sure it is.
What's interesting about all this, of course, Clemson comes rolling in on a 36-game regular season win streak, just like Miami did. Now, again, I'm not counting conference championship games. If you do, the streak's actually at 39, if you want to count that as a regular season game. But if you take that out, the number is exactly the same, 36. And this was a classic back in 88.
Yeah.
And even though Clemson's going to be down a handful of dudes, something tells me Saturday night could be a classic too.
New Year's Day 1971, Notre Dame snaps Texas's 30-game win streak, 24-11 at the Cotton Bowl.
we could probably spend an hour going over these kind of moments, but if you're a Notre Dame fan, you're living in the past here going, yes, sir, man, wake up the echoes. This is what it's all about. And Notre Dame, like I said, they have stuck their nose almost every decade, it seems like they get a chance to ruin somebody's party. And Notre Dame's been able to do that since the 40s, for crying out loud.
Well, how about November 16th, 1957? Oklahoma, 57-game win streak, comes to an end at the hands of Notre Dame. 7-0. 47-game win streak at the hands of Notre Dame. 7-0, by the way, the final in the ball game.
Yep.
So I think that's the great Bud Wilkinson, coach in Oklahoma. Now, when Notre Dame breaks streaks, there's great football streaks they snap. Then there is the penultimate basketball streak, because UCLA had won 88 straight games. And then Richard C. Digger Phelps on January 19th, 1974, and the Irish beat the Bruins 71-70. Bill Walton shot over John Shumate, bounds away. Shumate ends up with the rebound, and the Irish win.
Digger Phelps, right? Digger was in his element here, wasn't he? I mean, this was I remember watching this as a kid, man. This was like a big deal. And like I said, I grew up a big NC State fan. And, again, that during that era, that was David Thompson, Monty Tau, Tommy Burleson, and you knew UCLA, right? If you were a fan of the Wolfpack, you eyeballed UCLA because you know that was a collision course. And here's old Digger Phelps. Digger had, he had it going on, man. And that place was rocking. That was a classic. It's hard to believe it was that long ago. But if you were an old school college hoops fan, you knew exactly where you were that day.
Remember I said penultimate on 88? Because Notre Dame snapped, packed this the longest streak I know of in all of college sports. North Carolina women's soccer had won 92 games in a row. 92. Until October 2nd, 1994, in a 0-0 draw. I mean, come on, 92? You snap that? You snapped 88? You know, we got the 47 with Oklahoma, the 30 with Texas, the 36 with Miami. That stuff seems like child's play.
I told you. They,
so there you go.
Pick a decade. I mean, you can go back to the 40s. They snapped Navy streak. I mean, it's just kind of crazy how it works at Notre Dame. And I think part of it too, Wes, is the independence. And folks, a lot of folks don't understand why Notre Dame fans have such an allegiance to be independent. Now, granted, they're in the ACC now. But their independence at the time gave them the ability to travel all over the country. So therefore, they could find themselves in positions to play somebody basically out of their neighborhood. But it's not just a football thing where they've ruined parties. Like you said, we've given you hoops. We've given you soccer. And it's both men's, women's, you name it. It's been kind of uncanny how often Notre Dame finds themselves in a conversation piece where they have just snapped some crazy streak.
All right, but there have been streaks snapped too. Notre Dame in women's basketball had a 58-game home winning streak. And then last December, Amanda Butler and Clemson snapped that long home court winning streak for Muffet McGraw, winning 71-55 at the Purcell Pavilion.
So you get a scenario like that where a 58-game home winning streak, and again, Muffet had such an incredible program, and they're going to be back. There's no question about that. So here's Notre Dame this week, Wes. They've won 22 straight games at home in football. And guess who comes to town? Clemson. And by the way, the Tigers have won 14 straight road games. I mean, something's got to give here. Brian Kelly is 0-for beating a top five team. We mentioned that yesterday. He's 0-6 at Notre Dame. He's 0-7 in his career. And Clemson, 0-for on the road. True road games against AP top five teams. So when we start talking streaks, and Notre Dame has certainly busted open a few, there's a lot riding on this game coming up on Saturday where something's got to give one way or the other.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Notre Dame's excellent and not going to just tiptoe through the lilies and beat these guys.
We've won 22 consecutive games at home.
Trevor will not be able to play. You just have to have the next guy ready to go.
We're looking at winning the conference championship.
Our number one goal is to try to win the conference.
Who knows? It might not be the only time we play him this year.
Coach might be right about that. It could be part one, part two, but we'll see how it all plays out, though, Wes. It's going to be a fun game, though, Saturday night.
Yeah, and it's interesting. Tim was talking about all the different variables really kind of involving one side of the house for Notre Dame and what they'll be and what Clemson will be given some of the injuries. In fact, Brian Kelly yesterday on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin started off by addressing how the Irish will defend DJ Uiagalelei.
Look, they control what they want to do with him. We don't necessarily control. If they want to get the ball out of his hands quickly, if they want to move the pocket, if they want to do things structurally to protect him, they can certainly do that. He's not a guy that needs a lot of protection. He's really an outstanding football player. What we have to do from our end of things more than anything else is whatever he gets, he's got to earn. And we can't give him free access throws. We can't give him easy throws throughout the evening. So you know, what looks like a free access throw, maybe it's not a free access throw. What looks like cover two, maybe it's not cover two. So just some of those things where he can't sit back there and just say, okay, that's an easy throw. I've seen that 100 times. I'm going to take it, because he hasn't seen it 100 times because he is a freshman. So just trying to mix things up a little bit and get our cleats in the ground and play fast and play physical.
Sounds like a plan. Kind of like where Brian Kelly's coming from on that. I mean, you got to get him somewhat uncomfortable. And, you know, Notre Dame's defense has been consistently good all season long. It's part of the cat and mouse game coming up here on Saturday night.
And you would think that some of the disguising that Boston College did last week would help Uiagalelei as well in preparation for what Notre Dame's going to do. But then again, Pack, we go back to personnel. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, Kyle Hamilton, just to name two guys that are exceptional talents and really kind of are turnkeys in what Notre Dame wants to do. The other thing that they asked Coach Kelly about yesterday that I thought was interesting, given the comparable temperatures you guys were just talking about, is what the environment will be like Saturday night at Notre Dame Stadium.
The one thing that's interesting is that my 11 years, this is only the second time we've had a top 10 team play at Notre Dame Stadium. You know, everybody talks about, you know, how we've done against top 10 teams, but we've played them all on the road. And so it's nice to get a top 10 team. The last time we've had a top 10 team here was in 2018, and we beat Stanford. So it's nice to get a top 10 team because they're good teams, right? You know, you want them at home. So I just think, you know, from that perspective, you know, you're getting a really good football team. You're getting it at home. They've got to travel here. You know, we would have liked it to be a little bit cooler for the boys coming up here. But, you know, it is what it is.
Hey, Coach, great weather. That's what I said, though. I said the one thing that I know is going into Notre Dame with that high grass and that mist and that just that dew, it's just it psychologically – it plays with your mind. That's what I do know.
But now we've changed everything, Keyshawn. You would have tore it up. We now have field turf.
Oh.
And we got a beautiful new locker room.
Oh.
It's going to be 70 degrees.
See, that's a mistake.
Well, no, it's not, because we have a great offensive line and we're going to run the football. And you know, it's a different world. But yeah, again, it's exciting. Our guys are excited. But you got to keep it in perspective. This is the first time we've ever been in a conference.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're playing for a conference championship. So, you know, when you're in the Pac-12, it's one game and they all count. Next week against BC, it counts the same, you know. So it's exciting. It's great that, you know, one's playing four. I'm glad we're playing at home. But if we can't get up next week for BC, it really doesn't matter what we do.
Leave it to Keyshawn Johnson to whine about mist and grass being high. You know, a typical L.A. guy, right? A typical L.A. guy.
Yep.
Man, it's not 82 degrees and perfect and the song girls there in the end zone. No, man. You go on the road, brother, you got to strap it on. Keyshawn giving me the grass and the mist and psychological nonsense, man. Go play football. You know, enough of that.
Keyshawn's still – he's still thinking about Bush push.
Yeah,
he's still thinking about the Bush push.
Come on with that nonsense. I mean, you know, that's why you guys are keep getting beat out there on the left coast all the time. You keep worrying about mist in the air and grass being too high. You better go tackle and block somebody.
Yeah. Well, good stuff from Brian Kelly. Thanks to our friends at ESPN Radio for letting us hear Coach Kelly's visit with him yesterday morning. I do think the climate and the conditions, you know, if you're going to be a road team for Clemson, that makes it pretty nice, right? I mean, let's be honest. It could be at the other end of the spectrum on Saturday night, and it's not going to be.
But I'll tell you what, though. You know, I interview Dabo every Thursday. We'll do it again this afternoon. He has always been consistent. Now, even a couple of years ago, you got to go play Boston College, and the Eagles are rolling. Game day was going to be there. He's like, Pack,
right.
If it's a hurricane, it's a hurricane. If it's cold, it's cold, you know. Ballers ball. You know, if you can play, you don't care, man. As long as it's equal on both sides, let's go kick the thing off and go. You know, you never hear about the great teams, Ohio State, Alabama, and Clemson, whining about conditions. Normally it's teams that, hey, you're kind of looking for a reason. Maybe you're not going to play well, right? You get that a lot when you're not elite. I don't think Clemson cares one iota if it's 60 degrees or six. They're going to show up. And granted, they got some injuries. Hey, next man up. I mean, you haven't heard any whining about that this week. So these are two really good clubs, man. Again, let's go kick the thing off. It's awesome. The ACC's got a top five matchup. First time ever involving a number one ranked team. It's just a shame we can't have 80,000 in South Bend. But, hey, that's what we got. So let's go play.
Packer and Durham.
State, the anticipation for this game. There's so many elements tonight, including the elements.
We know that you can play football in the wet weather, but it is going to be ugly.
Gets made. Jordan Leggett dives for a touchdown. Fights free and walks in. A 1-2 punch from the Tigers. And the Irish on the ropes early. It's still a rowdy party in Death Valley. And a long hill to climb for the Irish. But his Procise on the sidelines stays in bounds and scores.
You need to score in a hurry. How about a minute 49?
And the Irish are coming back.
They're going to get the ball with a minute to go without any timeouts. It may come down to a two-point conversion.
Kaiser loops it for the end zone. Touchdown! With 7 seconds to play, the Irish are a two-point conversion away from overtime. Traffic and comes up a yard short. And the Clemson defense rises up to hold off a furious Notre Dame rally.
Tonight, hey, it was BYOG, bring your own guts.
No room for moral victories. Disappointed.
So I want to wish Notre Dame safe travels back to South Bend. And we will show up in 2020.
They will. Not with the full roster, but they will be there. There's no question coming up this weekend. All right, we just mentioned it. If you tie Clemson and Notre Dame together, nobody on the planet Earth knows more about both of them than our next guest. And that's our old buddy, the legend, Tim Bray. Bone, what's happening? You doing all right?
Great to be with you guys. Yep, been looking forward to this week for a while, and going to head up there to later on today.
You know, you're not even going to have to layer up, man. It's going to be like a beautiful night for football. I mean, we're not going to get snow. We're not going to get ice. Forget the elements. I mean, it's going to be a perfect fall evening for football. How about that?
I actually looked at the advanced forecast last week. Saturday, it's supposed to be 71 in Clemson and 70 in South Bend.
How about that? What are the odds?
That's crazy, Tim. How's that happen? I mean, that's unbelievable.
It is crazy. I mean, when I was in school, I remember my sophomore year, we had a game against Army on October the 12th, and it snowed.
Hey, by the way, speaking of snow, I told Reese Davis the story about being your roommate, and that big old satellite dish wouldn't move with that snowstorm, and he was laughing so hard. I said, that's a true story. I said, hey, Bray, we got a shovel? He's like, I think we got one in the shed. And we're out there shoveling that snow off that satellite dish so we could get all that Iranian soccer highlights that we used to watch in the middle of the night. So he couldn't believe it, but that's a true story.
Wes, here's the total number of times that Pack vacuumed and did the dishes. But when it came time to get the snow out of the satellite dish, he had the ladder out.
It's all about priorities.
Tim. I am not shocked to hear that he is deficient in housekeeping skills. I mean, are you kidding me? Come on, let's be honest.
Well, last week in the Catholic Church, it was All Saints Day, and I think his wife Amy is a candidate.
There is on the line. No, let me tell you something. You bring out a stack of Bibles, and let me tell you, that is the God honest truth. There is no doubt.
Yes, it is.
No doubt.
Yeah,
no doubt.
Okay, Tim, here's one of the things about this. The last time Clemson and Notre Dame played in South Bend was 1977. And that just seems like, I mean, it was a long time ago, 43 years ago, but it just seems so long in the football history of both schools because of the success that Clemson has had in the last decade, if you will. Looky here, the ticket of the game. Always good to see Dan Devine on a ticket for the 50th anniversary of old Notre Dame Stadium, Tim.
those were the national championship coaches at that time. Of course, Lou Holtz added to that list, but you got Newt Rockne on the far left, then Frank Leahy, then Ara Parsij, and then Dan Devine.
1979.
Yeah. Ticket was $11, by the way. Is that right?
Yeah. I hold it
in
my
correct.
Hand.
In the 77 Clemson, it was $8.
Yeah. Inflation, you know.
Oh, man.
That's inflation. You know, those folks up at South Bend, they were going to gouge you. You know, down at Clemson, hey, you know, $8, you know, get the SO Club, grab a cold beer, be about 45 cents. You go up to South Bend, they really got you, though, didn't they, Tim? Upped it to $11.
Well, Notre Dame has an outstanding business administration school, so they knew all of that.
Okay. What's this like for you? What's this game? I mean, because, look, for 16 years, I did, you know, Georgia Tech-Carolina games. I mean, I did 16 years of them with my dad. It was unbelievable. What's Notre Dame-Clemson like for Tim Beray, especially in football, for heaven's sakes?
Well, it's a lot of fun since I get to do the game on the radio as the color commentator with Don Munson. And I just know both teams so well. I tape every Notre Dame game and watched it, so I know the Notre Dame personnel and obviously know the Clemson personnel. I know so many people on both sides of the equation. The toughest game for me was that 79 game because I knew so many players still on Notre Dame's team. I had been there in 77 when Notre Dame won the national championship. Rusty Lish, who was the quarterback for Notre Dame in 1979, he and I used to play golf together almost every day in the summer of 1978 after I got off work in sports information. So, but I don't know any of the Notre Dame players, so I don't know Coach Kelly. So, you know, I'm all in with the Tigers, but it is fun to go back. It'll be great to go back to South Bend and go through the campus and places I used to go.
Tim, speaking of, I noticed that Dabo this week said he had never been, which kind of surprised me at first. And you think about it, well, it doesn't surprise you because, you know, given the fact his coaching status, you go where you got to go. But he talked about he's looking forward to walking around, seeing Touchdown Jesus, see the stadium, walk through it and stuff. Again, you go to places that you haven't been to, you want to do the walkthrough. So are you going to be the personal tour guide on this one? Because, I mean, you know all, you know every square inch of that joint. I figured it. You'd be tied to Dabo's hip when they got off the plane.
Yeah, I'm planning to certainly be there for the walkthrough. And, you know, I'm going to see him today. And I hope he could carve out an hour that I could, you know, show him around different parts of the campus. It is a beautiful campus and the weather is supposed to be perfect. So that would be a lot of fun. I'd especially like to take him by the Rockne Memorial. You know, it's kind of a tradition when you go on campus to rub Rockne's nose. I'd love to have a picture of Dabo rubbing Rockne's nose at the Rockne Memorial.
That'd be cool.
Tim, what kind of game you think this will be? I mean, Roddy Jones and I were talking about it earlier in the week. Something tells me that both teams are going to be forced to throw the ball. I don't think either wants the other to run if they can help it. Notre Dame certainly is a running team and well fortified to do it. Just seems to me that this is going to end up in the hands of Ian Book and DJ Uiagalelei to win the game.
Boy, great job with the name there, Wes. Perfect pronunciation. I think it's going to be a defensive game. I don't think it's going to be like 12-7 like Notre Dame played with Louisville. But when you look at the stats, both teams are in the top 15 in the country in the four major defensive categories: total defense, scoring defense, rushing defense, and pass defense. Clemson is certainly going to miss three guys on defense that would help stop that run. And this is going to be the best offensive line that Notre Dame has had to go against. But conversely, I think Notre Dame's going to have to face the toughest defense they've had to face all year. But I think the game's going to be in the 20s.
From a standpoint of injuries, Tim, I don't remember Clemson having a year. Again, you go through cycles. Sometimes you go all year, and for the most part, you stay relatively healthy. Sometimes you can't get out of bed without turning an ankle. But Clemson has really been banged up this year. And, you know, there's no rhyme or reason to why all that stuff happens. But can you remember a time that they've had so many, especially high-profile guys, shelved for games for an extended period of time?
No, of course, we did have some significant injuries in 2014 in particular when Deshaun Watson was in and out of the lineup with various injuries. You know, he ended up having a torn ACL at the end, but he had other injuries throughout, you know, throughout that year. It is interesting that that has hit Clemson a lot, but really COVID has not been a problem other than, you know, Trevor Lawrence. The other players that are out, the three players on defense, are regular injuries you could have whether you were during a pandemic or not.
I want to get to one of the stories here in our show notes that we need to ask, and there's something about a golf cart that we need to discuss before we let you go today.
Yes. I'm forever tied to Coach Sweeney, not that I wouldn't have been anyway, but when I retired, he gave me a retirement gift of a golf cart, and it was not your regular golf cart. It was a golf cart that on the fronts and sides has a Notre Dame logo and a Clemson logo, and as you can see it right there. And so the day of he had a retirement party for me, there were a couple people saying some words, and Dabo was nowhere to be seen. And then all of a sudden, from behind the building, he turns the corner and starts driving this golf cart and honking the horn. And I thought he was just making a grand entrance. And then I looked at the front and saw that Notre Dame logo and the Clemson logo. And I said, ah, that golf cart's for me.
So let me ask you this, Tim. I was told last week, because I had requested an opportunity to cross-promote the Atlantic Coast Conference on our network at the cross-country championships, and the commissioner of the conference said I was a non-essential personnel, and I just wanted to drive the golf cart to lead the cross country championships.
Wait, hold on.
No, I'm not going to let you interrupt. Why don't now. You no.
Why don't you tell him it was a close vote. Tell him it was a close vote on non-essential. No,
well, I was told it was a close vote, and I looked into it, and it was 14-0-1, and the only group that gave me the tie was Wake Forest, but they're the Swiss, and they didn't want to offend anybody. So the other 14 voted no. So I was determined to be non-essential to drive the golf cart. Now, obviously, speaking of retirement, Commissioner Swofford is good to go through the month of June of 21 until he wants to go play golf and fish and hang out with the grandkids. So I at least got him to commit last week that when we get back to normalcy, hopefully for 21, that we can bring in the golf cart routine. I said, Commissioner Swofford, you can ride shotgun. Now, Tim, assuming you've kept that golf cart in tip-top condition, I'm wondering, if we now join all forces here for the 21 cross country championships, that we bring in your infamous Clemson / Notre Dame golf cart and we tie that into Commissioner Swofford. If you want to jump on board, shoot, it's your golf cart. And again, it looks like you got room in the back for even more. I say we all lead the parade for the cross country championships in 21 with that bad boy right there, because that one looks like it could get up to about 25 miles an hour.
I tell you, it's got a little button that has a rabbit on it, and there's two speeds. And so you hit that second speed, and that thing will go about 25 miles an hour uphill. So
that's what I'm talking about.
No golf cart. So, and there's room for two in the back, so I could sit in the back, you and the commission on the front. You know, we'll just have to probably want to get a truck to drive it up there. It might take me a while to just driving on I-85. So, you know, we'll get a truck to bring it up.
So the way I'm looking at it is we got four seats. That's one for you, one for Commissioner Swofford, one for me, and one for the cooler. And I think we're good to go. And that little rabbit button, I mean, let's let this thing rip. ACC Cross Country Championships in 21 going to be unbelievable on ACC Network. Unbelievable. Everybody wants to see that golf cart.
Oh, my gosh.
I think it'd be a perfect way to kick it off, Pac.
Plus, hey, listen, the Notre Dame men just won the cross-country championship, so they'll be the defender, right? NC State's women have been fantastic. We can put some logos of everybody on the whole thing, get that thing dolled up like a NASCAR event, and let's let it rip, man. Be a no-brainer.
Well, knowing you, I'm sure you also pick up a few sponsors on the way, too.
You know me too well, Tim Bray. You know me way, way, way too well.
Yeah,
you know exactly right. That is, you know we're going for sponsors. Nothing gets done until something gets sold.
Yeah. Tim, I'm not sure you're familiar with this, but yesterday we took one of the longest-standing football games in ACC history, the Duke-Carolina game, which, as you know, is the battle for the victory bell. And after David Cutcliffe said it's a grocery store game, Pack decided that we would just rename it the Food Line Cup.
Food Line Cup.
Just like that.
One phone call. We get that thing sponsored. Food Line's been a great brand for the league, a great sponsor. And if David Cutcliffe, and I'm not arguing with him, if he thinks it's a grocery store rivalry, I couldn't agree with him more. Since, forget the victory bell a second, we're going Food Line Cup, Duke, North Carolina. But I can't wait for Saturday night. I know you're going to be thrilled about Saturday night.
I am. Really looking forward to it. It's going to be a great game. Looking forward to seeing some old friends. Going to stop by Digger's house and see him while I'm up there. So, it'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, no question.
Are you going to get a pen from Digger? You get a Sharpie when you see Digger? Does he give you a Sharpie?
I already got like 15 of them, so, you know, I'm good.
I'd start selling those. That could be eBay material, Tim. You take care of this whole trip.
I did three books with the guy, and, you know, part of my payment was – Sharpie.
You need Sharpies, a new agent.
Yeah, exactly. Unbelievable. Tim, have a great trip. Thanks as always. Appreciate the time, my man.
Great to see you guys.
All right. Always, Tim Beret, ACC legend. Notre Dame grad, 40 years at Clemson. Nobody better.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.